Welcome back to The Cancer Gene on 640 WHLO. Dr. Gabriel, we were just talking about what's the reason for this rise in the cost of drugs.
You know, yes. I need just to explain to the public one thing. The healthcare cost in the U.S. has been increasing by 6, 7, 5, 4%, whatever it is. There's no doubt about that. Death rates are dropping from cancer. More importantly, the average lifespan is really rising. Mm-hmm. I mean, the average lifespan for men now is 76 years and for women is 78, 79. That's kind of remarkable. I don't think we can thank anything but medical advances for these breakthroughs. A 90 years old now still is on the golf course thanks to the artificial hip and artificial knee, and we're having artificial a lot of things.
Right.
A lot of things.
Yes, we are.
We need more. It's great. People in their 90s, now they seek treatment because I think human beings, people now are talking about, is there maybe, on the golf course, the old farts in the 70s, 80s, do you think that we will be able to conquer death? Well, why not? Good. People are so optimistic these days. Because the quality of life is better, and when you're 70 and still golfing every day, and enjoying life, you say, "I don't want to go. I don't want to stick around." And the hope is medicine, and medicine is giving a lot of hope. I'm not saying we're going to cure death now. I don't think we should. I don't think we can. But we are making people live longer.
Not only longer, but better.
Excellent quality of life. There is nothing more beautiful than when I saw 2-3 years ago a 104-year-old guy golfing with his great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And he was hitting the ball. His drive was about 150 yards. That's remarkable for a 100-plus years old guy. And we have to cherish that. But there is a price to it. And fortunately, the price is not as bad as people think. So what I was trying to say in the beginning, when you look at the total healthcare cost, that's increasing by 3-4%. Mm-hmm. Actually, the contribution of drugs is only about 18-20%. So of every $100 we spend on healthcare, less than 20 goes for drugs. Believe it or not, it is the drugs that actually are making a difference. 44% dollars out of the 100 go to hospitalization. Tell me how many people actually get better with hospitalization.
Mm-hmm. We know the statistics.
Hospitalization and medical errors in the hospital are now the number three cause of death. Somehow, hospitals and the American Hospital Association has masterminded, and that's why I'm telling you a while ago that academics are in that commission, mm-hmm. and all of them are employed by hospitals.
Right.
It's a distraction. It is a distraction from the abuse and the overcharging of patients when they're hospitalized, and they're blaming the healthcare cost on drug companies, while we know the cost of drugs that actually are the things that help people is less than half the cost of hospitalization. These are the things that people don't hear in the media, the fake media, mm-hmm. or the fake news, because these are the things that stick in your eyes and kind of wake you up, really. So we are fighting, these guys are fighting what actually is making a difference in people's lives.
And this is a topic that I think you touched on in your first book, Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine.
Right. And actually, Carrie, I also gave a talk. Remember, we have our annual research conference at the Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I think it was 3 years ago when you decided that a keynote speaker. And I did even economical analysis. Let me share with this analysis with you and the listeners. Bear with me. Until today, 62% of the drugs developed in the world are developed in the U.S. And by the way, 10 years ago, that number was 74%. Mm-hmm. Something happened in the last 10 years that more drugs are developed abroad than the U.S. That's a side point, but is a political one also. When people start voting, they need to know that their votes actually have a meaning. But the besides the point, we produce 62% of the drugs, right?
Correct.
Or at least the new developed. Yet, the United States consume only 17% of all the drugs in the world. Although the United States is 5% of the world population. Am I right? The world population is 6 billion. United States is 320 million. So we're 5%, but we actually use the drugs 3.5 times more than the rest of the world. But that's okay. That's still a small number. So we sell 62% of the drugs in the world, the U.S. exports, and we only use 17%. That's a huge surplus we have. So if we fight the drug companies, these are the things that can happen. Number one, they might say, I'm not going to develop new drugs. Because what's my incentive to to go and spend the tedious 10, 11 years and spend all the money on the R&D, and then when I develop a drug, nothing or know very little decides how much I charge for my drug. I mean, I can't give you example worse than this, but it's almost like going to Cadillac and tell them, you know what? Yeah, we like your car, but I think you're charging too much. How about you sell it for $18,000? Who will build Cadillac?
Mm-hmm.
Who will even think about improving the quality of the cars if somebody says, we decide how much you sell? It just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Even in the communist system.
It doesn't make any sense.
So that this is what we're facing, is that telling people we will decide on how much, right? How much you can charge. Think about that. If we do that, the major drug companies in the U.S., number one, they will be hesitant. Number two, you and Scott and myself will be a little bit less enthusiastic about investing or buying stocks in drug companies.
Correct.
I think we'll find that chances are we can guarantee that a slice of the population will eat McDonald's every single day. The Big Mac is good. We know that the public will not abandon Big Mac big time, so we will buy stock in McDonald's,
right,
or Burger King, mm-hmm, or Starbucks, on one of those things. When the drug company get less investors, they have less money. You need money for R&R, which is, no, R&D, sorry. You need money. You also need money for R&R, right? But for research and development, you do need money. And when investors are not interested in investing, they have less money. And in fact, when people don't buy stocks in the company, the stock value of that company drops. And all of a sudden, we have these giants that will be crawling now, right? Think about the consequences of that. All of a sudden, either these companies will move abroad, or their scientists, when they see that their idea cannot be implemented because of the potential that the government or whoever decides on how much they charge for the drug, they will go somewhere else. That somewhere else, meaning in South Korea, meaning Romania, meaning in India, wherever it is, when they develop that drug, and by the way, they can do it cheaper probably, they will be exporting it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Hard currency with negative balance, export balance, goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, Kerry. You travel a lot because we do research for companies. I travel a lot, right?
Right.
A lot of our travels are to do with researching new drugs.
That's right.
So when we travel, they buy for us airline tickets. That's money in the pocket of the airlines. They keep us in nice hotels,
mm-hmm,
right? Ritz-Carlton, whatever it is. And when you do that, somebody pays for that. Think about the economic activity that these drug companies are generating. They take us to restaurants. I mean, you name it. There is a lot of activity. I mean, that's why people say, the statistics show that healthcare is 16% of the GDP. It is true. Imagine if we choke these drug companies and they decide to slow down or to contract their scope of their operations, meaning in developing a drug, in fact, if we control the price, they will have no choice but to be mean and lean in their employment and workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Lay off people. What does that mean?
Right, less jobs.
People lose their jobs.
Right.
Right? And then we end up, after a few years, importing drugs from abroad. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. But the most dangerous part is, really, we want to depend on India and China to develop new drugs to make us live longer and conquer Alzheimer's disease and make us immortal? Really? Since when any country in the world has been in the leading edge in anything but the U.S.? Everybody is second. And all of a sudden, we have these capitalist haters. They really want, oh my gosh, drugs. You know, I spent this weekend with my two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And both are kind of, they say they're Republicans, right? They're conservatives in California. You can imagine conservative in California. But they're also sympathetic. Oh, drug companies are so greedy. Why? I said, okay, guys, do you think basketball players are greedy? Yeah, they shouldn't be paid that much. Why don't you go and become basketball player, sir? That's to my older brother. Can you really shoot the hoop and so on? Oh, he said, that's not fair. He said, that's not a fair question. It is a fair question. Anybody who has a special ability, whether it's an individual or a company, they deserve proper compensation according to market forces. And any attempt to interfere with those market forces is just dumb.
We're running out of time. This is the Cancer Gene on 640 WHLO. Listen to our podcast at GabrielCancerCenter.com or search the Cancer Gene on iHeartRadio.com. Again, this is the Cancer Gene on 640 WHLO.